This is going to be study 72 in our study of wisdom. Also, along with the Workman's Interlinear that Jack wrote. And we got down through, I believe, verse 17 of Philippians 2 last time. And so I'm going to read 17 again, but 18 is where we're going to start. But I'll just read 17 in the King James Version, and then we'll get into verse 18 and start there, because 19 begins a little deal there of about five or six verses that Paul talks about Timothy. And he's writing back to the Philippians, and he is telling them about Timothy and the reason he's going to send him back to them with this epistle or this letter that he has written for them. And we'll go as far as we can, but it's just from verse 19 through 24 is the example of Timothy. And I doubt if we get any further than that, but verse 25 through 30 deals with the example of Epaphroditus. So you got about five verses that deals with each of these men, but they're not going to go back to the Philippian people for the same reason. And Epaphroditus has been sick. And so he's going to make the journey a little differently than Timothy does. So Timothy goes for one reason, and Epaphroditus is there as the Philippians' counterpart of this, and he's going to go for another reason. So we're going to look at this in the next study or two, and that's how it's going to work out, hopefully, for us. So I'm going to start with 17. I'm going to read 17 and 18. And then we're going to take up 18 with my notes and Jack's notes and so on. And it's going to change a little bit, because some of these verses of Scripture don't have any backup Scripture with them, because Paul is giving you information as to the mail carrier and also to the one that's coming to bring him back information on how they're doing. So we'll go ahead and get started. Oh, this is study 72, and today's date for the recording is the 9th day of December 2020. Get that little thing out of the way. Now, let's go back to Philippians 2:17. It says, yea, or yes, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And I've made mention of this before, and I'll make mention of it again. Ephesians was God's grace. That was the golden thread through Ephesians. Then the silver thread we have here, if you want to call it that, through Philippians is joy and rejoice. It was a great thing to be associated, that Paul was to be associated with these people that kept him there and kept him going in his own hired house till he could see the leader of the Roman Empire, because that's what he went there for. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, for this same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So that completes the, what do they call it, exhortation that Paul was doing there in Philippians 2, to some extent. So we'll get on with 18. But now, 17 was, something that he said, if he be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Come to understand, and we read this a little bit last week, that Paul was always pouring out his life for others. That was what the Lord had called him to do. That was what he was given this great mystery that had been kept hidden over the ages and generations, and not even allowed by God's own Son when he was here in the flesh to talk about it. But with Paul, he did. And Paul says, I joy and rejoice with you all. And then he gives the reasons there in Romans and Second Corinthians, and we read those, I think, last week, and Second Timothy 4:6. And it says, for this same cause, this is 18 now, for this same cause also do ye rejoice and rejoice with me. He says, for this same cause, in respect to the same things that we had just gone through from about verse 12 down through 17, in respect to the same things that we just read about, also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And there is no scripture here, but all the previous verses from about 12 or verse 13 down deals through 18 deals with the evidential things that we have been reading and talking about, especially in Jack's interlinear, because it was really important, and it was based upon other scripture. But here, he's bringing it up that for this same cause you joy and rejoice with me. And he's already told us why he rejoiced and was rejoicing for them, because of their association with them. And so the previous verses, I think, tells us about verse 18. But I'm going to read what Jack wrote in 18 anyway. And to bring it down out of the Koine Greek, it says, but the same also, you rejoice and rejoice together with me. And he says this, the Philippians should rejoice together with Paul. That is, in his sacrifice and work for them, and with them, they too should rejoice. They should also rejoice in the results of his labors in Christ, which they can see, and I'll add to Jack's, through the written word here. This is a pattern for his people to rejoice in his labors, rejoicing in fruitfulness, rejoicing in sacrifice. Labors and fruits of their work should rejoice together in Christ, who is our head. And so that kind of completes that part of the thing that goes along with that. Now, verse 19 through 24, here is the example of Timothy. So we're going to read as far as we can down through this, and I hope we can get down through 24, because some of this doesn't give you a lot of the scripture readings that we have been looking at for a while here. But when Paul starts talking about men, then it's not like talking about Christ, and it's not like talking about the Father. So he's talking about his fellow laborers here. And so this is the reason we don't get quite that much scripture involved, but there is some, but not as much as we've been yet. But going back to the King James Version in 19 of Philippians 2, it says this: "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." So Paul says this: "But I, Paul," in 19, "trust." And that trust is his hope in the Lord Jesus. And it's going to be the Lord Jesus' will to send. And that word "send" there in the Greek is the word "piempo." And if you go back and you look at it in the English, in the Companion Bible, that word "send" there, or the word "piempo," is one of the words that means to send, and it's to do it with an escort. If you go back to the Companion Bible and look it up, I believe it's maybe page 135, somewhere in there. I might not be exactly right, but it's close. And I thought, well, are you going to send Timotheus there? Is he going to do it with an escort? Well, he goes on and talks about it, and he don't say anything about an escort yet. But he does, because after he gets done talking about Timothy, he goes talking about Epaphroditus. So they're both going, but not together. But evidently they'll be there close to the same time. I have no idea as to that, especially with an escort. "Now, Timotheus, shortly," or "quickly, unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know," and that word "know" there is gnosko, and of course we've been through this off and on for quite a long time. Gnosko is acquired knowledge. He wants the acquired knowledge of their state, of the things concerning them, or you, if he gets down to a one-on-one situation with this letter that he's going to send. And there's no scripture given again with verse 19. No scripture, but there is, Jack does bring it down out of the Koine Greek, and it says this: "I hope, but in Lord Jesus, Timothy soon, to send to you, that I also may be of good courage, having known the things concerning you. And to bring it on down to today's reading, it says, but I hope in Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy soon to you, that I also may be of good courage, having known the things concerning you. So it was really important to Paul to keep in touch with these people because they had given him much in his being in chains for the hope, and being looking forward to a release point there. So it says, Timothy was the one who was willing to do the Lord's bidding. Some others had other considerations that may have prevented them from acceding to Paul's wishes at this time. Now, Timothy was faithful. Paul hoped to send Timothy to learn more intimately the affairs of the Philippians. He knew that he could depend on him to give Paul accurate information as to their spiritual state. So this was, and he used that word send specifically, to have an escort to go along. So they didn't go together, but they were there, I guess, according to my understanding, they were there together for a period of time. I don't know where they came back together or not, but they didn't go together because one, might have been able to keep up with the other one. And, or one may have had to ride the boat and the other may have been able to walk. I don't have no idea about that either. So that was verse 19. And we get into verse 20. It says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. So, Paul wrote this again, and he says, for I have no man or no one. And that no one there's the word Udesis, and it means like-minded or of equal mind, who would naturally, and that word naturally there can be truly, care for your state. And so, but he does give a scripture here that explains this verse a little better. So when we read out of the Koine Greek, it says this, no one, for I have like-minded, who genuinely the things concerning you will care for. And to bring it on down, it says, I have no one like-minded who will generally care for the things concerning you. So that's the two renderings in the English that Jack always puts in there. And so Jack gives us this qualifications here. He says, Timothy was the one who qualified for this mission. There may have been others who spiritually qualified, as we know Paul had sent others out from time to time. But at this particular time, only Timothy was able and available. And Paul knew that Timothy would genuinely care for the situation of the Philippians. So, in Paul's entourage here, I guess he had people that he was leaving with others or moving around place to place to get this word out and to get it started and to get it going. And so we're going to look at 1 Timothy and Titus, 2 Corinthians and Romans here. So there are four things here that brought Jack to the point of saying, okay, we need to explain this one a little bit. So, the like-mindedness, was really important. Okay, let's look first at 1 Timothy 1:2. Let me get going the way I need to go. 1 Timothy 1:2 is on page 1800. If you have a companion Bible, and we'll just read the 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he's laying the groundwork of here of how Timothy and he are bonded together. It's kind of like a father and a son. And so this is what he's doing. Now while we're close here, let's go to Titus. And we're going to look at Titus 1:4, which is just beyond Timothy. And I can't get my old stiff fingers to work too good. Well, I got to go beyond 2 Timothy. The Titus 1:4. Okay, Titus 1 is page 1816. And Paul and Titus, he is putting his name upon the envelope, if you will, and the salutation. And I'll just start it too and read this. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And it says to Titus, mine own son after the common faith. So Paul looks at these young converts of his almost as if they're his children. He says to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he goes on to tell him why that he left him in Crete and he's writing back to him. And Titus there. But Timothy and Titus both is giving us the appearance of a father and a son in the ministry together. And isn't that something? And then let's turn back and go back to 2 Corinthians for a minute. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians. Well, let's go back to 6. We just read about Titus. The 2 Corinthians said, in so much as that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so would also finish in you that same grace also. That's the reason he was left in Crete. So you see, when you go back and forth, you get these little tidbits of where these people were and why that Paul left them there, because he wanted them to grow in grace and truth, and Titus could certainly do that for them in Crete. And it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything in faith, and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And Paul says in 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, because he was trying to straighten these Corinthians out. That was what 1 Corinthians was there for.
Yeah, put us a correction.
And I'll just read 9 and we'll go on. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so that's another thing that was needed to be shown to these Corinthians, that Jesus gave his humanness and his life that we might have the abundance of the love that he could show there. And I want to go to Romans 12. Just about there. Get one more page of these dog-eared. Please. I'm going to have to do it sooner or later, but I'm going to try to make it later. I'm going to read Romans 9 through 16. Romans 12, 9 through 16, and they're on page 1687 if you have a companion Bible. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulations. Continuing instant. And prayer. Have a prayer on your lips all times. Distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And so that's what was written for this verse of scripture in 20, where it says, or 21, for all available. And many are away on missions. And certainly, we have now known and realized that Titus was on a mission for Paul there. So, going back to Philippians 2 again, and look at verse 21. It says, "For all seek their own, not on things which are Jesus Christ." So he said in the verse we just read that he had no one else but Timothy that was like-minded in that respect. And then 21 says, for all those that were available in Paul's group. You can find that in the Companion Bible. Many were away on missions, but the rest seek their own. Or to put it another way, they're doing the old man things. The things of this world does get in the way of you sometimes, whether you want it to or not. Sometimes it cannot be helped. But if you live long enough, and I can swear to this, that the old man things can get in the way. And they're not the things which are Jesus Christ. And so there's no scripture given with this verse, but Jack does add it to his Workman's Interlinear and explains it. So 21 says this, "For all for the things of themselves are seeking not the things of Jesus Christ. For all seeketh the things of themselves, not the things of Jesus Christ." And Jack makes it quite clear here in 21 that the all here is those that are available. And it was also mentioned in the Companion Bible. Obviously, various ones with Paul had already been sent on missions, and some may have had to go to their own homes or areas to take care of things. And this is what I call old man things, the old man thing, the things that sometimes we have to take care of in order for our family and so on to make things go. And this statement, therefore, does not necessarily need to be understood negatively. And so Jack puts that little part in there because as much as we need to do the work that Christ has laid out for us to do, we do have to do things from time to time that has no bearing upon scripture. So, and it says here, Jack says this, Paul's not trying to set into judgment here. He's just merely trying to describe the situation that they have there that people could understand that. And that's pretty much, you know, what a good person doing the work in the Lord is trying to do. He'll make sure that you understand it, and he knows that you have more than one thing to look after. You have the things of the Lord to look after, but you also, if you have a family and you have property or you have this, that, and the other, there's things that has to be taken care of from time to time. And I know this is not really written for the Jews anymore, but you know, if any of them, and some of them were looking and listening and reading and getting involved, they knew what was put forth before them, that they had to make the trip to Jerusalem, or needed to make the trip to Jerusalem for their sacrifice and their things that they had been doing during the time that they were under the law. And so I think Paul has got that in his mind, that he understood that somewhat too. Verse 22 says this, "But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." Now, who are we talking about here? We're talking about Timothy or Timotheus. We're talking about Timothy. And Paul is saying this in 22, "But ye know," Gnosko, the proof. And in my notes, I made my own scriptural reference, and I want to read it to you, and I want you to go back and read it with me. Go back with me, if I can find it, to Romans 5. And I didn't know where I marked it out or not, but Romans 5:4. What is the proof? The docame. The proof of him. And so here, Paul tells them in Romans, therefore, Romans 5, it's on page 1671. If you have a companion Bible. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Full stop. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. So it's by Jesus Christ that we have access, by Jesus Christ and his faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Paul is talking here about not only to the Romans here, but he's talking about the qualifications of his son Timothy, and another son, Titus, who was evidently in Crete at one time and was not with Paul in Philippians. But we have a relationship too as a son now with a father. So it says, but you know, gnosko, the proof. Romans 5, of him that as a son with the Father or to the Father, he serves with me. He serves with me unto the gospel or the good news. And there is a little bit of scripture that goes along with this also. So I want you to, well, let's just go ahead and read read it down out of the Koine Greek in verse 22. And 22 says this, the but proof of him, you know, that as to the Father, a son with me, he served unto the good message. And you bring it on down, it says, but you know the proof of him that as a son to a father, he served with me unto the good message. And so the word dopamine is proof. Timothy had proved himself to be faithful in the word and to propagate the mystery. We find the word dokamon in Philippians 1:10, for it is to approve the things that differ. That's what we're going to look at. One of the things. Again, a form of the word dokamon occurs in the key verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it is approved unto God, the approved dokamon workman. How appropriate that Paul spent his life trying to be approved of God, and Timothy, his son, in him, is given the same commendations. So, let's go back to Philippians and we'll read 1 and 10 again. And it's always good to go and read it. Boy, it's hard for me to pick up one page. Paul says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgments. This is on Philippians 1:10, 1773, that was 9. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Well, what are the excellent things? The excellent things are the ones that differ. That ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. The things that are excellent, we are to test the things, and having found them to differ, we must not join them together, but rightly divide them, as we find in 2 Timothy 2:15.
Yep.
So here in Philippians, we're going to go back to 2 Timothy. So you see, the further you get along in the writings of Paul, you begin to find that you go to other places in Scripture to get some of the text work that we're looking at now. It says, study, 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, 18:11, page 18:11, if you have a companion Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why would a godly workman be ashamed? He does it because he looks at the things that differ and he does not put them together. You can't put one person's hope with another person's hope when they're not going to the same place.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're rightly dividing the word of truth when you do this. Because God has dealt with different people at different times and they get different promises and have different hopes. And so if you don't take and you don't heed these words that Paul was penning here just before he was going to give his life up, he was going to be poured out like a drink of wine, which he's always being poured out anyway, but, you know, this is a pouring out that,
the final pouring
out. It's the final time, and he's expecting this out resurrection. Okay. How much time we got left?
It's 9:25.
Okay. We can do one more anyway, because there's no follow-up scripture with it either. So let's go back to Philippians 2, and let's look at one more verse. Verse 23. So he says, you know, with me, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, Timothy, therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So, him, Timothy, therefore, or him, I can send and I hope and trust to send presently or soon. So as I shall see how it will go with me. Well, there were two things here that was on his mind, because Paul wanted to see how his case might soon be heard. And also, if you think about it a little bit, Paul was relying upon others to keep him going. And so Paul's finances might not have been in the best conditions, because he was in a chain here. He wasn't making any money. He was relying upon relying upon these people to help him out. And so there was two things there. He was waiting to see and wanting to see how his case would be heard, because he was almost promising that he was going to come back to him, but he didn't know. He didn't know for sure. And there was no scripture given there. And let's read what Jack said in verse 23 there. It says, him indeed, therefore I hope to send when I shall have seen the things concerning me at once. Him indeed, therefore, I hope to send at once, when as I shall have seen the things concerning me. Paul wanted to send Timothy to Philippi as soon as possible, though there would be some delay while Paul evaluates his personal situation. No doubt he is concerned about his financial situation, since he could hardly work being incarcerated. Though his needs may be light, he also has little cash to send with them to do his bidding. This may have been the consideration of Timothy's desired trip. And we got one more verse, and it's a small one, and this will end up Timothy, and we can do Epaphroditus next time. He says in 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So this was the last one dealing with Timothy. He says, I am persuaded but the Lord that even myself soon I shall come. And Jack says, it is even possible, maybe more probable, than Paul would be free soon and would make the trip to Philippi himself. This is one of the reasons that some have thought the letter of Philippians was the latter of the four epistles written in A.D. 62. Philemon also may have been written near this same time. And there is no scripture again for this verse. This is information that Paul had that he wanted them to know about the man he was sending to them, that they could get together and sit down and read this epistle, and it could be explained and poured over, and that Timothy had the answers to the solutions for this. So we did get through this, and it's a good place to stop, because it's it was a necessary thing for Paul to have Timothy to go, but also he had that word in there to send, and so we're going to find that he does send Epaphroditus also. And I don't think they went together. You might look at it differently, but I think Epaphroditus didn't have the stamina to keep up with Timothy. So maybe whatever it was, Timothy went on ahead. But Epaphroditus had been sick near unto death. And Paul
at least
was,
once we know.
And Paul was afraid he was going to die. But he says, you know, that he got grace in that he didn't die, because he was one of Paul's entourage that was important to Paul. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anybody in Paul's group, I don't think, that wasn't important in that.
Yeah, he said if he'd died, he'd had sorrow, heaped upon sorrow.
Well, these other people, after Paul's death, these other people were going to have to take up the mantle and carry it on. And so here we are 2,000 years later talking about this. So evidently they've done a pretty good job.
Somebody did something.
And thank
well,
you.
The Lord preserves it.
The Lord made that possible, certainly. So we understand that, but sometimes people don't look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to bring these things up, because not only was it in Scripture, but also to realize that Paul, everywhere he went, he worked for himself. He's a tent maker. He made a living. But if you got a chain on one side, on one of your arms, and you got a guard, a palace guard on the other end of that chain,
you're not going to be making much.
You're not going to be doing very much other than writing these epistles and giving us the opportunity to have a peek into this blessed mystery that had been held and been given to this apostle.
Amen.
And wasn't even given to his own son to proclaim. It was not proclaimed by Christ. Might have been made mention of it just maybe a little bit, but not enough to get anybody stirred up about anything. But yet, when Paul brought it along, it was brand new stuff. And this is the rest of the story. This is what was important, not only for that day, but for the day in which you and I have just used. A day of the Lord that is almost gone, and we're not going to get it back, but hopefully we'll get another tomorrow.
Amen to that.
So thank you for your love. Thank you for your understanding, and hopefully that, you know, when we don't get Scripture out of these verses, it's more of for information rather than God's gospel truth. And so that's another little short thing there that this is the first time we've come up on something that didn't give an answer for what Paul had written. You see, the word testifies of itself. But when it's more of a person-to-person thing, then, you know, it's most of it's not something that you need to explain. Pretty self-explanatory. you know, if I was writing you a letter and I said I went to the bank today, you know, I might have left out some things. I might have left out, well, I carried a gun with me. Or I didn't carry a gun with me. But, or I left them some money rather than taking money. Yeah. You know, so the things that are personal, in that situation, we can only gain from understanding that they had problems just like we do, even living these times past. So that was put in there not for filler, but for understanding, mm-hmm. for information that we might have. God bless you. Love y'all. Pray for y'all daily, and we'll continue to do so. And hopefully looking for a time when we can all sit down around and get together and not have to worry about these polluting things that pollutes us all this way. So love y'all and really appreciate you being with me. God bless you.